الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, welcome to our beautiful silsila. Alhamdulillah Azawajal, Inshallah Azawajal, we've got Harun Bhai as beautiful. I like that badge, Harun Bhai. MashaAllah, it's beautiful, that green badge. Subhanallah. What does this say?
It doesn't. It's got a beautiful pattern on it. It's Nalani Pakshi.
Subhanallah, MashaAllah. Because you can get them with the Attari or Qadri written on it as well. MashaAllah. Beautiful. Subhanallah. We've also got, MashaAllah, Azawajal, Sharaz Bhai. Subhanallah, Azawajal, looking fresh and beautiful as always. And the topic we've got today, MashaAllah, Azawajal, our topic is going to be about knowledge. Ilm-e-Deen. And there are many hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam relating to this topic. I'll start off with one beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Whoever travels a path in search of knowledge, Allah will make easy for him a path to paradise. People do not gather in the houses of Allah reciting the book of Allah and studying it together, but that tranquility will descend upon them. Mercy will cover them. Angels will surround them. And Allah will mention them to those near Him." Now these are just the few of the blessings of knowledge. And today, MashaAllah Azawajal, we've got Sharaz Madani with us. And MashaAllah Azawajal, we're going to also ask Sharaz Bhai how he completed his Darsa Nizami as well. But that's going to be at the end. So I'm going to give you enough time to think of the answers. But MashaAllah, Sharaz Bhai, I want to start off with yourself, MashaAllah. This is your favorite topic about knowledge. Gee, start off.
Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have not created the jinn kind and the mankind except to worship me. And by worshipping me, the scholars have mentioned that this means to recognize me.
Subhanallah.
So as an insan, we have been sent with a task. And that task is to search for the truth, to recognize what the truth is. And this is one of our main purposes in life, that we go and we spend from the cradle to the grave, we work out what is the reality of our existence, to discover the hidden treasures, the secrets within the universe that takes us back to Allah Azza wa Jalla and his recognition. So the Sahaba Ikram, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says in a Hadith Sharif, famous Hadith, "Man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fid din," that whoever Allah Azza wa Jalla intends goodness to, Allah Azza wa Jalla bestows him with the understanding of the deen, of the religion, of the truth. And then the Hadith Sharif also says, "Innama ana qasimun wallahu yu'ti," that I am the distributor of this knowledge and Allah is the provider of this knowledge. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who gives the knowledge to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he distributed this knowledge to the Sahaba ikram, and the Sahaba ikram, they had achieved an amazing this goal of searching knowledge that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them, this target, this achievement. So now this knowledge then, you know, it conveyed to the rest of the ummah through the companions and then the tabi'in and then scholars. So the Prophet ﷺ, they don't leave behind inheritance. What they leave behind is knowledge, and it is the wise people that pick up this knowledge in the journey of their life. So now the Sahaba ikram, and there's a Hadith Sharif that you seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. There's another Hadith Sharif that you seeking knowledge. Now the word talab means to actually rattle for something, to actually have the desire, the passion of seeking knowledge. And this is farz upon you. So these companions and the taba'een and taba taba'een, they had this passion, this desire that my life is going to be full of knowledge. This hadith sharif was echoing in their ears, their entire life, that from the cradle to the grave, I want to learn knowledge. So these companions, they spent their entire life just seeking knowledge, and then this passed on this sunnah, which was a very big sunnah, that
mashallah,
from the cradle to the grave, I'm going to seek knowledge. There's a scholar, and it's amazing, because this knowledge that was given to Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab.
But Sharafi, you know, some people, they might be thinking, yeah, it was easy for them, but it's really hard to gain knowledge. You know, that's the waswasa we've got. Alati is totally different, isn't it?
Seeking knowledge, I will come to that in a moment. So Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab, this 10% of his knowledge that we are drowned in today, from fiqh, for example, all the way up to technology that we have today, this was all from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a scholar, he was the librarian of the library, Abu Musa al-Khwarizmi rahimahullah. He was basically the caretaker of this biggest library in the world in Baghdad Sharif at that point. Now he had learned and studied every single book within that library.
Allahu Akbar.
And he got to a point that he's a very famous person amongst mathematicians. He got to a point where he had, he's like, I've studied everything, I've been to every teacher, and now what do I do? And yet I've got so much years left of my life, and I have to seek knowledge from cradle to the grave. So they were, you know, mesmerized by this hadith sharif that seek knowledge from cradle to the grave to such an extent that after having nothing else to study, they went on and designed their own sciences.
Allah.
And he was the first one to develop algebra, to develop algorithms.
Mashallah.
And from that, this technology sprung out. This was about 1200 years ago. And from that, today, after developing his knowledge that he left behind, his books, his works, the scientists and these professionals, they experts, they, you know, developed his knowledge that he left behind and came up with all this technology. So, you know, getting into Jannat is not easy.
Yeah.
It's surrounded by hardships. There's pul sirat you have to get past.
That is a famous hadith as well, isn't it? When the Allah Azza wa Jal sent, was it Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, go and see what paradise, and he said that, ya Allah, no one is going to enter paradise because of the imtihanas and, you know, and all these problems that would be for that person.
So you say, you know, is studying knowledge easy? I mean, nothing is easy in life. Yeah. There are difficulties. But yet, you know, studying Islamic knowledge or any knowledge is not as, I mean, we have time on our hands, and that time, the amount of time we spend on our phones, for example, just utilizing that time alone can make you such a successful person. There was, Imam Ghazali mentions in his book, Ihya al-Ulum, that there was a slave, and he was about 30 years old, and his master freed him. Now he's got half of his life left, supposedly, and he's like, okay, now what do I do? Do I carry on working? What do I do? And a slave is the most lowest person in society at that time. So he thought to himself, you know what, I'm going to listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that khayrukum man ta'allama al-Qur'ana wa 'allama. That the best person is he who seeks and teaches the Qur'an, who learns the Qur'an and then teaches it. So for 1 year he studied Islamic knowledge, for 1 year. Within 1 year, the king of his area sent him a letter saying, I want to meet you.
Allah.
So last year, he was a slave. No one wanted to look at him properly. And now, after 1 year of seeking knowledge, the king sent him a letter saying, come see me, I want to see you, I want to spend time with you. So this power of knowledge, the power of Islamic literature, is such that it made a slave, even a king, desire to seek him. And this is the power of Islamic knowledge.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Ji, Harun bhai, mashallah, azawajal. Shiraz bhai has put a beautiful path for us, mashallah, azawajal. Continue on from there.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. I was actually enjoying that. I was happy for him to continue because, mashallah, being a learned scholar.
Mashallah.
I'm going to take a slightly different kind of approach, in that knowledge is a basic requirement as a human being. When Allah Azza wa Jal created Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, the glorious Quran tells us that although without doubt he had his superiority over the angels, and the scholars write that that was because of the Nur of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but on the face of it, in the glorious Quran, it was the knowledge that he was taught by Allah of the names of the different things. Now, this knowledge was given a lot of credence. When one looks at the glorious Quran, and you know the first five verses, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. In those first five glorious verses, اقرأ, read, is mentioned twice. قلم, the pen, is mentioned once. And the word ilm is mentioned twice.
MashaAllah.
How important was this to the basic structure? The reason is, I would say, it's very simply this, that without knowledge, we have no direction. We have no understanding. We have nothing. Knowledge gives us our awareness of the surroundings, as Shiraz Bey very beautifully said, and it puts you in touch with Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, there is a very beautiful book, and in there, what the author writes is something really, really beautiful. What he says is that as we're born as human beings, we're born with four basic qualities. There is animalism, there is anger, there is a shaitani sift where you follow your desires, and then there is an angelic quality, a malakuti sift. And what the author writes very beautifully is this, that it is incumbent, it is important, it is necessary, it's the duty and the obligation of every one of us to seek knowledge so that we can control our animalism, our anger, and these shaitanic desires and whispers, so that our angelic qualities shine. So for example, you see a lot of people who, you know, do commit crimes, commit murders, and you think, how can he do it? And one of the problems is lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Then you see some people who, through the faith of the walis of Allah Azza wa Jal, they get taught these things, and alhamdulillah, their angelic qualities shine. And you see the honesty, the integrity, and the good qualities, and the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. Basically, you know, ilm, knowledge, it molds a person, you know, into a good society. The more knowledge you have, or the best knowledge you have, and the best knowledge is, you know, MashaAllah, Shiraz Bhai, he read the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding learning knowledge. Now, Shiraz Bhai, sometimes people think, well, if that is knowledge, then, you know, we are already going to college and university, so we're acting upon that, aren't we then?
I'm coming off what Harun Bhai said. He says, so in Alamul Arbah, Allah divided the souls into three groups. This is the same coming off what Harun Bhai says. So when he divided them into three groups, one of the groups, he gave them akal, intelligence, but no desire.
Allah, Allah.
The second group, he gave them desire, but no intelligence. So the first group became angels, they have akal. The second group were the ones that were given desires, but no intelligence. So animals, basically. They have desires, they sleep, eat, drink, but they have no intelligence. And then the third group were given both, desire and intelligence, and they became the insan. Now, it's mentioned that a person who increases or dominates his intelligence over his desire, he's like the angels.
SubhanAllah.
And the one whose desires dominates and his intelligence decreases, becomes over-dominated, he becomes like, and this is from the Quran as well, he becomes like an animal, rather worse than an animal. Because now he's been given intellect and he's been given desire. He's supposed to control his desire and increase his intellect, his wisdom. But he's actually, you know, falling in for his desire and he's left the akal.
What about the jinns then? Will they be classed like as the humans? Because
they will be classed as humans too.
Even the glorious Quran Hafsab, what it mentions is that these people who don't use their intellect, I think there's one part of the glorious Quran which says that they are worse than animals, as you said, because without knowledge, basic knowledge, you are nothing. Now, our difficulty is this: when it comes to acquiring knowledge, we all understand the importance of knowledge, but what we look at is we prioritize that knowledge which will make us money. That is our center. So if what we look at is this, you know, if I go to university and I get a good degree, I will be able to get a job that pays well. I look at knowledge, and I've been brought up in a society where I look at knowledge as pounds, right? In the Islamic society, it was totally different.
Yeah.
Knowledge was so common that even your servants had gone. I think a couple of days ago, Halba and I were discussing about controlling your anger. And there was a famous waqia of Hazrat Jafar Sadiq radiallahu anhu, when a servant nearly spilled water on him. And they looked at him and stared at him. And he immediately read the glorious ayats of the Quran saying, you know, those who control their anger. And what that gave you is an insight into the very knowledge that these people had. We weren't talking about the great imam. We weren't talking about somebody in the family of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We weren't talking about some of the amazing companions. We were talking about a servant in the court of one of the servants of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
You know, today, you know, we open shops, we do businesses, we do everything. But do we understand about business, how to do business? Dawat Islami, Alhamdulillah, Azawajal got a separate department, you know, on this as well, just business, tajarat, ahkam tijarat, so many masails regarding this.
You see, you mentioned Dawat Islami, and one of the reasons that a lot of people love Dawat Islami, a lot of the scholars especially, is because Dawat Islami's entire premise is based upon acquiring Islamic knowledge.
Subhanallah.
Whether it's the Jamiatul Madinas, from the Madrasatul Madinas to the Darul Madinas to the Jamiatul Madinas, it is all based
even
around
educating,
even Madni Channel.
Mm-hmm.
It's all based around educating the Ummah of Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because we are in an era where we're away from Islamic knowledge. And what Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakatul Aliyah through his phase has done is basically he's taken that knowledge which you had to go and acquire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people used to travel far distances. You know the famous saying that go as far as is it China to acquire knowledge. Well, what this era brought was laziness. And we weren't that apt. So what Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakatul Aliyah did is brought the knowledge to us. So Madni Channel is in our homes. You know, if we want to read a book, we don't have to go out to the bookshop and marketplace and buy a book. No, dawatislami.net, and all the books are all there for free. And you know, all these resources, even now during this period of lockdown, people were struggling. But Dawat Islami was one of the first to get online classes, Madrasatul Madina, Balighan, everything else, online courses. And I was very pleasantly kind of happy the other day, because I was looking through the social media pages. I was thinking, there's different online live lectures going on. There was one from Birmingham, there's one from London, there was one from Bradford. I think you were on one of them, and the Mufti Saab from South Africa was on one of them. It was brilliant.
Alhamdulillah.
Just all these platforms. And this is what Dawat Islami has done. And this is what Islam needs. With that basic knowledge. I'm just going to quote a beautiful ayat of the Quran to allow our viewers to appreciate how important this is. It's Surah Al-Imran, Ayat 18, translation from Kanzul Iman. Allah Azza wa Jal has testified, and there is none worthy of worship but Him. And so did the angels, and those of knowledge, the ulama, whilst maintaining justice. Now the father of Allah, Hazrat Naqi Ali Khan, rahmatullah alayhi, says that this ayat proves three virtues of knowledge. First is that Allah Almighty has mentioned ulama with Himself and the angels. Second, ulama are also made to witness His oneness just like the angels, and their witness has also been considered as proof of the being of Allah Azza wa Jal. And thirdly, Allah Almighty considers the ulama witness as authentic as the angels.
Subhanallah.
That's amazing.
Mashallah.
You know, knowledge has put the scholars of the Ummah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal on that level where the angels were. It's just amazing.
You know, Allah mentions in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِ الْعُلَمَا. You know that only those who fear Allah are the ones who are scholars, you know, just explanatory. Shirazbi, and you know, seeking knowledge, you know, we know, mashallah, that seeking knowledge is important. You've been through that. How easy, or, you know, for some viewers watching now, they might be thinking, it's going to be really difficult. You know, we've got an example, mashallah, yourself, yeah? You went through that, you know, that path. How was it that you went through that path? the difficulties you had, and basically we're trying to get the viewers thinking that look, it's not hard to gain knowledge.
So Jamiat al-Madinah, you know, on the first day I've come home, and my mom's probably watching this as well, the first day I've come home and I'm like, Dad, I'm gonna go to Jamia, and he's like, son, are you sure? And they weren't really, you know, and this is, I'm saying this because there will be other, you know, Jamiat al-Madinah viewers, students that are thinking of going, and parents watching as well. The fathers are like, are you sure? They're nervous, they don't know what to say. And I'm like, Dad, I've made my mind up, I'm going to go.
Is there anyone else in your family who's an alim?
So my younger brother, he was in the part-time alim course.
Okay.
And the rest of them, the normal, you know.
Is that before you enrolled?
So when I finished and graduated and then opened part-time Jamia, full-time Jamia, then he was in the classes.
You're teaching your brother.
It's beautiful. Even in Jamiat al-Madinah, we have a father and a student in the same class. They be doing the work together.
That just shows you the love for knowledge, isn't it? You know, to learn knowledge. You know, if you just take it, Arumbay, you know, worldly level. People travel to many, many places. MashaAllah, you're a barrister. You know, you got that worldly knowledge, like, you know, alhamdulillah, so you're in front of us now, mashallah, teaching the deen as well. You know how hard it is to leave your family, to go and stay. But that was just for the world, wasn't it? Now, mashallah, so you know, we look at Shiraz Bey, he left his family as well. It was for the deen, you know, mashallah, so look at the result. But, you know, people might be thinking, okay, you know, college and universities, you know, that's easy, but that wasn't easy as well.
No, and you know, I'm just going to take what you said there, that, you know, in the world you get the benefits. I've said the day of judgment, because this life is very short. Now, on the day of judgment, it's a day of great terror and great accountability. It's a very, very difficult day. And, you know, people will be drowning in their own sweat. 25,000 years, people will be begging Allah Azza wa Jalla to say, Ya Allah, start the accountability, right? Now, do you want me to give you a glimpse of the great status of the Ulama Ikram?
Subhanallah.
Hadith Mubarak, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah Almighty will resurrect people on the day of judgment. Then He will separate the Ulama and say to them, O group of Ulama, I know you. That's why I blessed you with knowledge from myself. And then I did not give you this knowledge so that I would inflict punishment upon you. Go, I have forgiven all of you.
Allahu Akbar.
So the ulama are in a special category, which even on the day of judgment, they will be said, this is the rest of creation, billions and billions of people, going to be held accountable for everything. But you are the learned scholars, you go and enter Jannah. This is how amazing.
At the door, Jannah, they'll be stopped again.
Yeah.
Allah.
You're not allowed to go in. And they're like, you know, we've done all this, we've come all this way, why are we not allowed to go in? And the angels will say that, go back out there, there are thousands waiting for your intercession.
Subhanallah.
You cannot enter Jannah. Basically, if you look at all the numbers of how many intercessions are going to take place, it seems as if the Prophet ﷺ, because of his wasila, nearly every Muslim will enter Jannah.
MashaAllah.
Because of intercession.
Subhanallah.
But we shouldn't just get hopeful, you know. There's a Sahaba, Safala, Nattakiru ala Kitabina, shall we not just sit back and relax then? The Prophet ﷺ said, no, you must work hard that everything is easy for what a person is created for. If doing good deeds is easy for you, then Jannah is for you. If doing bad deeds is easy for you, then Jahannam is for
Allah
you. So you could understand where your final destination is by the good or bad deeds you are doing. You know, even for example, now a person, if he's learning, you know, secular education, I always do this breakdown. You know, in one day we have 24 hours. One third, 8 hours we sleep. 16 hours left. 8 of them hours to 10 we work. Okay, there's about 8 hours left, more or less. With them 8 hours, 2 hours we eat, drink, and we spend in the toilet. So we've got 6 hours left. Them 6 hours, if a person reads namaz, so on and so forth, he's probably got, you know, 4 hours left. A person has 4 hours left in his day spare. Now, in UK, we go to school up until we're 11. So that's 11 years.
Mm.
Then we go into high school up to the age 16. So when a person's 16, he's still doing secular education. When he gets into college, that's another 2 to 3 years. So he's about 18. Then he gets into university, 21 years, average lifespan is about 60 years. So one entire third part of our life we spend just, you know, for worldly education. And it's not nice to say this, but many of them still don't get the job that they want.
Yeah.
And it's a true reality. You see many people with the qualifications, very, very high qualifications, they've worked hard, but they do not get the job that they actually want. So, but we spent one third of our life studying for that, working hard for that, you know. And many of these people, they sacrifice a lot to learn that. But, you know, if you understand the reality of life, when you are actually laying flat in your grave, and when you actually start to analyze, because you will still have your akal in your grave, you will still have, you know, your whereabouts. That's when you will start to analyze, what have I done with my life? Where have one third of it, 8 hours in a day, you spent sleeping. And this is one of my favorite, fazilat of an alim. An alim sleep is better than a person who's worshipping all night, a normal person worshipping all night. So a person who's an alim and he sleeps, his 8 hours of sleep or whatever, you know, amount of time he sleeps, that's all worship for him. Because he will get up energetic and start working for the deen again, spreading his knowledge. So a person who, you know, struggles for the dunyavi education, the worldly education so much, and then in the end he doesn't get what he's attained, even if a person who's, you know, done the dars in his army, he's qualified, becomes a mufti, and in the end he still has to do a regular job. He still has his knowledge.
MashaAllah.
I've said there are two things here. I've got a very important clarification. There is worldly education, and there is no conflict between worldly education and Islamic education. A lot of people have this concept. And a lot of parents out there think that if I give my child an Islamic education, I can't give them a normal education at the same time.
People have this fear, don't they?
It's a misconception. I'll tell you why. There is one thing to do what Mashallah Shiraz Bhai did. He went, did the 7 year, 6 year course, became a scholar of the deen. And I would say that, you know, that is the most important thing in life, because your children, even if they become engineers, doctors or barristers, if they don't know what their deen is and they don't know the respect and adab of their parents and they don't know the sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they can't read the Quran properly, I'm sorry, but as parents you have failed. Now, at the same time, that is a big choice, and in every household, you know, there should be a scholar. But when we talk about knowledge, there's a separate category as well. I mean, this is the, you know, this is the cream. But our children in our homes who are studying the secular education, as they're growing up, there are fundamentals of deen that we must teach them.
Yeah.
We're not saying make every single youngster a scholar of the deen and send them on the 6 year course. What we're saying is teach them the basics of deen that they need to live their life by.
Yeah.
Now, as they're growing up, if you taught them how to read namaz correctly, if you taught them how to read the Quran correctly, if you taught them the basic sunnahs of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you taught them the importance of deen, that is knowledge. Now, Islamic knowledge isn't, and this is the misconception, Islamic knowledge isn't just that, you know, Shiraz Bhai is a qualified scholar and that's it. No. You know, mashallah, you've got Islamic knowledge. You know, Shoaib Bhai's got Islamic knowledge. All of this is important. And these farz alum are the crucial things. So what we don't want is people to switch off and think, well, if I can't become a scholar of the deen, therefore I don't need to learn Islamic. No, there is a huge vast of information which you must know. It's not one of those options. It is compulsory upon us.
We've got a clip now, mashallah, Azhujal. You know, this is an answer for those people who say, you know, we're a bit too old now. How can we go to the jamia? How can we even say it? We can't even remember things. Shoaib Bhai, mashallah, kept on looking at me. Ji, Shoaib Bhai, it's your turn now for a beautiful kalam.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulullah wa sallam alayka ya Habib Allah.
Bola lo phir mujhe
مدد ہوئی جدائی کو دے دو رخصت شاہ مدینے پہنچنا در پر تو کہنا کا سلام لیجیے غلام آیا اور کہنا کا بہت سے عاشق تڑپ سے چھوڑ آیا ہوں میں بلاوے کے منتظر ہے لیکن نہ صبح آیا شام آیا سلام شوق کہنا جیو میرا بی رو رو تمہیں آئے نظر جب روزائے انور مدینے میں دلو مدینے آقا کرو مہربانیاں ڈاڈا غریب آقا کول میرے دل نہیں اڈ کے میں کیویں آواں نال میرے پر نہیں میرا غم بھی تو دے بس میرا دیا
Take everyone to the blessed city of Medina and Makkah, mashallah, Azawajal. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah, Azawajal, we were talking about our topic, excellence of knowledge. Mashallah, Azawajal, Shiraz Bhai, coming back to yourself, you know, some people might be thinking, you know, is there an easy way or what is the best way to seek knowledge? You know, we can't say that Muslims don't want to seek knowledge, but they might be just reluctant and confused. You've been through that path, mashallah, that sacred path. Give us some tips.
I think, first of all, one of the biggest problems we have is, suppose someone's like 20 to 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to learn his namaz. That's one of the main basic things mm-hmm. that we need to learn. Now, he assumes, for whatever reason, that, you know, if I go into masjid now and ask the Imam Sahib, teach me my namaz, it's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
So, for this reason, shaitan messes him up even more and makes him think, you know what, leave it. You're going to cause yourself embarrassment. And this, like, you know, then the thought goes out of his head, it ends there. So, as an encouragement, Dawat Islami, alhamdulillah, we have classes just for elders, which are in private rooms, and only, you know, the people in attendees of that class enter that class. And, you know, it's not like you're going to have a child reading the same sabak as a person who is 60 years old. And we have, you know, each class has its age limits. So that embarrassment that you think, this is just a whisper of the shaitan, which shaitan is telling you, leave it. And because you've left it so late, this was, you know, ignited from the shaitanic whisper. Mm-hmm. I'm 13, I can't do it now. I'm 15, I'm 25, I'm 60, I can't learn this. And you're gonna, God forbid, you're gonna pass away without learning namaz. So, you know, ignore the shaitanic whisper and contact someone. Contact your local, you know, your local Sunni imam and speak to him. He will, you know, full-heartedly teach you the farz of namaz, what to recite, what not to recite.
Shiraz Bhai, what made you go to Jamiatul Madina and study? You know, were you in this environment from the beginning? You know, people might be thinking, it's okay for this guy. MashaAllah, really, he was in this environment when he was really young, so he grew up and he went into the Jamia and studied. Is that what the case was?
Obviously, I'm not going to go into too much details, but
we don't want to. Not too much details. No, definitely.
Basically, it was, you know, the Hadith Sharif, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَ, that the best person is he who learns the Quran and teaches it. This was a factor. This was a thing in my head that, you know, you want to be the best person, listen to the Prophet. Everyone wants to be the best today in society. Everyone wants to be the highest status person. And I thought, you know what, rather than being this, my passion was to become, you know, a scientist. But I thought, you know what, leave this. Everyone's going to do this. People will, you know, cater that field.
Yeah.
But this field, you know, you need to get into there. And it's the best of both worlds within this field. So from there, I came home with this idea, I'm going to go to Java.
How old were you when you made that decision?
I was in the end of first year of college, so about 17. And then the journey of, you know, the first day whilst the parents are dropping me off to Jamiatul Madina, totally new place to me and new environment, different people. I thought I wouldn't fit in, but eventually you settle down. But then just, you know, the learning the knowledge, that became a big part of my life after that. It influences you, the teachers, just the spirituality.
You know, when you were young, you know, in your teens, in your young heydays, as they say, you know, people must have come up to you and, you know, must have invited you to the masjid, or even, you know, such a big change. I've got a picture of you, which I want to show on Madani channel. And, you know, this picture is of a young lad, you know, on the streets of Rochdale. How Allah Ta'ala picked this young lad. And mashallah, he's now sitting in front of us as an alim ad-deen. Inshallah, you'll see your picture on the screen very soon. But I want you to carry on talking, mashallah.
Having said that, you know, there was a point of when, you know, there was no phones in that time. They were like coming just into the system. So you used to knock on friends' doors. And I remember knocking on friends' door, and the mother's like, astaghfirullah, get out of here. And 6 years later, after finishing the course or whatever time it was, 2 years in the Alim course, same parents are like, putar, take my putar with you as well.
Subhanallah.
So before they were doing istighfar and lili la hawla wa la quwwata, and now the same parents contact me saying, listen, take my child with you. So this, you know, just learning the knowledge is a big transformation in a person's life. it doesn't end there though. You know, there's so many things that benefits a person's life from this knowledge. There's a hadith sharif, and this goes, you know, what we were talking about before as well regarding those, you know, Islamic knowledge and secular knowledge. Can it go hand in hand? The hadith sharif, a famous one, is that when a fly falls into your utensil, your plate, dunk it. Now this is like mysterious, dunk the fly. A fly falls in, it's still alive, it's at the top, it's on the surface, dunk it in. فَإِنَّ فِي إِحْدَى جَنَاحِيهِ دَاءٌ, that in one of its wings there is a disease, an illness. وَفِي الْأُخْرَى دَوَى, and in the very other wing there is the cure to that disease. So you have to dunk it in and now it'll become neutral. So the negative, positive, neutral. وَإِنَّهُ لَيْقَدِّمُ الدَّاءَ لَلدَّوَى, that it always puts in the diseased wing in first and then you will have to dunk in the cure. Now this is a hadith, famous hadith that is given to us by the Prophet ﷺ. He's given us, me, you, as a amanat, as a responsibility, that this is a hadith, go and study it. Now what we would do, okay, next time a fly falls in, I'm a dunk it, that's it. But a Chinese doctor, a scientist, took this way, and he, now why would he read a hadith? I mean, he wasn't a Muslim. He knew that there is some treasure inside Islam, so he's took this hadith away. He's researched it and he's found that wing with the cure inside it.
Subhanallah.
And he's found the cure and he's put in a laboratory, he's made all these chemicals and now he's made his own medicine from the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ gave to him. So now a non-Muslim is making millions and millions of whatever that currency is from something that the Prophet left for me and you.
Allahu,
no, we are looking for success in the wrong place. And the success is in Islamic knowledge. This is the best knowledge. So Islamic knowledge does go hand in hand to day-to-day living. When you got this together, that's when you will achieve not only the worldly success, but the success for the hereafter as well.
Subhanallah.
So what I would say is, look, Islamic knowledge is a religious duty upon every Muslim. When it comes to children, that duty is primarily with the parents.
Yeah.
Now, if you can do what Shiraz Bey's parents did and gave him the opportunity to go to Jamia and become a scholar of the Deen of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, best thing you'll ever do. Because no matter what your child achieves in worldly matters, you know, he will never be able to respect you in the way that a scholar respects his parents. And on the day when you go to your grave, what the scholars can do for you on the day of judgment, what your scholar children can do for you, you know, normal children can't. But if you think that's too far, that doesn't mean that's it, you close the chapter. Because you're still under an obligation to teach your children the basic farz alum and teach them respect of parents and everything else. Now, if you're struggling, say for example, some parents might be sat there thinking, how do I do it? Well, this is where the beautiful Madni environment of Dawat Islami comes
in. Subhanallah.
I've given this example many times, Hafsab. There's a friend of mine, and he, I've been watching him for the last 15 years, and what he used to do regularly was take his children to the Madni Kaflas of Dawat Islami, and he used to make sure, and gradually these children have grown up, born and bred in this country, but alhamdulillah, not only did they learn their basic farz ulums, but they kept their feet on the ground, they stayed away from drugs, all the bad company. And mashallah, I walked into one of the Fazana Medinas the other day, and I mentioned this the other night on Madin channel as well, and one of them was reading nothing. Yakin Karenge made me so happy, because I've watched those children grow up, and he's got Dari Sharif, Imam Sharif, who's reading nothing, isn't that Medin? But basic Islamic knowledge.
And this is the environment of Dawud Islami, Harun, but you know, mashallah, so many people have transformed their lives. You know, the thing is, if we all look at it, majority of the Islamic brothers who are in the Madani environment today, and you can say the front line of Dawat Islami, you know, we have Nigran Ashura, a prime example. He is the head of Dawat Islami, alhamdulillah, throughout the whole world. But look at the transformation he's made. So now we need to think to ourselves, ke, you know, just don't say, "Unda mara putas in sabriyata, ay bigdeyaga." You know, don't even think like that. Just keep on working on them. Inshallah, that will be. But one of the best ways, I think, to get your son or your daughter on the right path is first of all, follow that path yourself. Mm. You know, if you want your son to become a Hafiz-e-Quran and you just drop him off at the masjid and to come back and never go inside, it's not going to make, you know, a difference.
I'm going to come back to the point you were making just before. There's an important psychology and a mentality to this, because acquiring the knowledge of demon, presenting it for your children, is so crucial. What we're constantly bombarded by, and our children are bombarded by, is an environment outside which is very secular. So when they go out to school or in the marketplace and all that, they see all the wrong things and, you know, the everything else. Now, then they've got the social media, and they're being constantly bombarded by filth and all sorts of difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got the television.
Video games,
mm-hmm. Right? Then you've got the advertisements and everything else. Now, it's one-way traffic. Now, what you must do to stand any chance of protecting your children is to try and put a block on it. Now, a lot of people, they give up. They think, how can I counteract that? Mm. It's very simple. And this is where the Madani Mahal of Dawat Islami comes in. At home, if you've got Madani channel on, at least when your children come home, there's Madani channel English, they might understand something, they might pick up something, it starts to play in their head. Indeed. At least it gives them some sense of haya, some humility. Yeah? Then if once a month, if you take your children on a Madani kafla with you, they will learn the sunnahs and it will counteract that. And what you're doing is, yes, there's the wind is blowing that way, but at least you're putting some sort of barrier up, and you're in the home, you're praying five times a day, you're learning the farzulum, you've got Islamic books. And what if your child picks up, or, you know, the books that you've left around and starts reading them? It could change the course of your life and your child's life.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to counteract it. And what I'd say is the Madani environment of Dawat Islami provides you that, whether it's books, whether it's Madani channel, whether it's Madrasatul Madina, or it's the Balaghan classes, for the adult classes,
mm-hmm.
online courses,
alhamdulillah,
or even further, even our jamias are free. Mm-hmm. What else do you want?
You know, Subhanallah, just
full-time and part-time jamias.
Ji, mashallah, Azhujal, I just want to mention, Harun Bhai, what you we're just running out of time. I've been told to move on as well. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, alhamdulillah, Azhujal, we were discussing about the excellence of knowledge, so please, it's still not late, it's still, there's plenty of time. Pick up a book, inshallah, go on to the website of Dawat Islami, download these books and gain knowledge for yourself. Now we come to the point where we're going to put our panel on the stage and we've got a question for you. You're going to see on your screen, we're going to have it's the name of a book. It's in muddled up writing, alphabet is idhar udhar, but you need to correct and put them in order. What is the name of the book?
That's fine.
We've got about, I think it's about 10 seconds. Ji, it's on air now, inshallah. So the, ji, which book are we talking about?
Ihya ul-Ulum.
Kya baat hai, Madinani, subhan. Isla matlab hai, thodi okhi aane kara. MashaAllah, brilliant, subhanallah. So the, Shirazbi, do you think that's the correct answer? Can we have the correct answer on the screen as well? Inna jane da ek minute bhi nahi laya.
Do we get a prize?
Yeah, you got to hold my phone for 2 minutes.
Can I keep it?
MashaAllah, Ihya ul-Ulum is on the screen. Brilliant. MashaAllah. Ji, Pyare Islam Bhaiyo, Alhamdulillah Azzawajal, our topic which was today about learning knowledge. So please, inshallah Azzawajal, whatever was discussed today, try to make a timetable of your life. Get the whole family involved. Madani channel is there for you. You've got Madani Muzakara wa Mir Ahle Sunnat. Alhamdulillah Azzawajal. Ji, Harun Bhai, last word.
Actually, we've only got a few minutes left. Yeah. I wanted to make a point. In the old times, when the great imams wrote the different hadith mubarakah, sayyan, and different books, you know, in those times, you had an ink pot, and you had to dip the pen in the ink, and you could write perhaps a word or two words, and then you had to go back and ink again. And yet, even in those times, their greatest asset was when they were writing this, that when it came to the name of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they took great pleasure and great pride in the fact that they wrote the full, you know, Durood-e Paak upon Aqa Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they did it very carefully. Now, can you imagine on a page where in those times Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's nami isme grami was appearing 20 times? 20 times to write the full sallallahu alaihi wasallam must have taken some time, but that was the essence of their being. So they dipped the pen in and they wrote it out. Today we've got these phones, we've got everything else, we can do it quickly. This PBU, AS and all that, we should never do it. It's laziness,
And I think it's a lack of knowledge, to be honest.
It's a lack of knowledge. And because I've seen it in some of the books as well, you know, Islamic books, and same again.
Shiraz Bhai will correct me, but our scholars have said it is haram to do this. Yeah. So this is something that we should never do. But think about it this way. Every letter that you type when you're adding to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nami ismi grami sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every letter you are getting reward for. Why are you taking away your own reward for?
Nowadays, you know, you can get that pre-installed as well, where whenever you write the name Muhammad, you know, the Durood e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is already written there for you. So things have made it
call
so
easier. Call me old-fashioned, right? And that's an easy way as well. Yeah, this is the whole essence of whatever you're writing.
Yani, get that time out.
Take time out and write it
with more love. Yeah. Now we're actually reciting the Durood e Pak. Yeah. Inshallah Azawajal. Beautiful advice. Shiraz Bhai,
final point is, you know, we have a lot of arrogance in our area, in our people. You know, when you tell them this is haram, this is halal, they probably want to go against it because of the arrogance. They might think, oh, I have more knowledge than you, I've done this. Get rid of this arrogance. It's a big challenge for some people. But when you're speaking to someone who is learned, Islamically knowledgeable, you know, have some respect for him. You know, the imam of your local masjid, a speaker in a masjid, have utmost respect for him, value that person, you value him, it will become better for yourself.
But you know what people say, we've got Google today, we know everything as well. You know, this is a certain knowledgeable question, people will like to Google it rather than go to a scholar, sit with him and learn with him. MashaAllah Azawajal, we've had a very beautiful discussion today, MashaAllah. Jazakallah Shiraz Bhai for coming, taking your time out, MashaAllah. Harun Bhai, as always. Harun Bhai, how long does it take you from home to here?
About 10 minutes.
MashaAllah.
But I have been doing the Bradford trip.
What I'm saying is, you deserve to be local as well, MashaAllah. Because you've been travelling to Bradford so many times.
I still want my travel.
How long does it take you?
20 minutes.
MashaAllah. So I'm the closest one with 45 minutes.
45 minutes.
Inshallah, Azawajal.
So, am I getting your phone then after?
In 2 minutes, I said you can touch you as well.
Have we got
MashaAllah. Jazakallah khairah, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala ala
Muhammad. Sallallahu ala ala
Islam is the way of life. Islam is the way of life. Islam is the way.